Good morning. Welcome to Assurance Baptist Church. Let's stand and sing. Amen. Let's get around and shake someone's hand this morning.
Good morning, good morning. If we could work our way back to our seats. In Psalm 104, verse 1, we read, O Lord, my God, you are very great. Lord, our King, by singing, O Worship the King, page 10. And defender, the angel. And from there, let's turn to page 43, singing, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Precious than silver.
You decided to come and worship with us this morning. We want to take this time and welcome our guests and friends we have with us. If this is your first time at Assurance Baptist Church, if you would raise your hand, our guys in the back have a gift for you. and a visitor card so we can send you a letter thanking you for your visit. So if it's your first time here, if you could raise your hand, we got a couple over here, guys. And then we have some repeat visitors that it's good to see back with us again. So thank you for coming back. Just a couple right here. So we appreciate you guys coming and being with us this morning. It'll be a good day in the Lord's house. We're going to get started here with a word of prayer, and then our sister Olivia is going to come and sing a special for us before a preacher comes and preaches, all right? So let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for today. God, we thank you for the opportunity to come into your house, Lord, to hear from your word. Well, Lord, we pray as we go into this the preaching hour, Lord, that you would speak to us through your word. Well, we pray that hearts would be convicted today and lives would be changed. And God, if there's someone here today that isn't saved, Lord, we pray that today they would realize their need for a Savior and that today they would come to trust you. Lord, we pray all this in your Son's name. Amen. Amen. Thanks. Give me one second.
Mountain high, your valley. Amen. Amen. Well, Sister Sierra Morton there, she is our first special here, and praise the Lord for that. Amen. What glory. And her and her husband Brad are our youth assistants. They help in the youth ministry, and so all the youth there, you hear them screaming. They have made an impact there and are beloved in our youth ministry. And Sister Sierra joined the choir and doing a great job. She's also on the praise and worship team now. So we're thankful for you, sis. Well, what a wonderful morning. Amen. We, this morning is the first morning where our nursery has been split up a little bit. Brother Brandon did some construction in there as we're trying to make do with the space we have. And we'll start our two services in October, where we'll have a 9 a.m. service, a 10 a.m. Sunday school, and an 11 a.m. worship as well. That starts the second week of October, I should say. But our nursery, for all of you nursing mothers and folks who have nursery children, we do have the nursing room all the time now. Is that an actual nursery? So just knock on the door. They'll let you in there. So we built a wall, and we're going to make the kids pay for it. Amen? No, no. But it's exciting that we have that growth and things going on there. But just so you know that, nursing mothers, just knock on the door. It's good to have our visitors here. Sister Maisie Morton's going to be getting baptized at the conclusion of service. Excited about that. Maisie's 7 years old. And so she is a precious little girl. Was one of our top Awana learners, just memorizes those verses and does a great job. And sweet girl. We're very excited for Miss Maisie Morton. Well, this morning we're going to be looking at a new sermon series, The Joy of Believing. The joy of believing. Allow me a little latitude this morning because I got to sing my way through the first part of this a little bit. Not really sing, but you know me. I have three major illustration topics. Food, number one. Sports, number two. And three, secular music, because I'm just a music fan and I have an eclectic taste. So one week I might be listening to Garth Brooks. The next week I might be listening to Snoop Doggy Dogg. You just never know who I am. I mean, on the plane ride to South Carolina, Savannah and I were there, and she was listening to Camp Musical, whatever teenage girls listen to, Camp Rock, or I don't know, High School Musical, or Bunked, I don't know. And I was over there jamming to Adele. I was in there, and I know those people in the airplane were probably going, what is wrong with this guy? I'm in there like, I'm a funny Alison. And they're probably like, what is wrong with this guy? Why is this large black man singing Adele? But it's just who I am. So the joy of believing. The title of this week is Now I See. We believe in a lot of things as people, don't we? We believe in people and companies. If you invest or you are in the stock market, you're believing in a company. Believe in banks. If you've got your money in a bank, you believe in the bank that the money's. They say, can you go to the ATM anytime? I said, that's the general idea of the ATM. You can go anytime and the money should be there. Amen. We put our trust in that. We put our trust in boats. If you get into a boat, when I was out in the ocean, my trust was in the boat because I can't swim. So I needed that thing to stay afloat. If you are in a car, your trust is that your car is going to get you where it's supposed to go. Now, I've drove some clunkers in my life. I remember my dad, he retired from Central State. When he first started working there, he got a company vehicle, and it was a Prius, and I drove it, and I had no idea that those cars shut down at the red light. And so at the red light, the car just completely turned off, and I thought, been here before, I better get the jumper cables or call somebody. And then all of a sudden, I pushed the gas, and the car started again. I said, well, this is a neat concept. Usually in my life, when the car dies, it's dead. But this time, it worked out. Well, we put our trust in cars. Some of you who are my age or older, you remember the old Ronald McDonald song, Do You Believe in Magic? And I hope you do. Oh, remember that old song? I didn't care about the song. I just cared about that Big Mac. You know what I mean? Now listen, we are a people who are built on beliefs. The word belief means to accept something or to know or to feel that something is true. Believing can be a joy, but believing can also be a pain. I believe if I say this or do that, something bad or good could happen. If I say to my wife, hey, honey, you've gained a few pounds, I believe that's going to go bad for me. If I say, honey, you are the most beautiful woman in the world, I believe some good thing, some joy may take place in that conversation. But the joy of believing or accepting something as true is very central to our lives. We are a believing people. The simplest illustration is believing is a lot like love. Now, contrary to personal beliefs or beliefs by others or the song by Boston, how do you know you're in love? Well, it's more than a feeling. We don't get saved and just have this feeling, this emotional overwhelming. A lot of churches are emotional in nature, and there's sometimes emotions in belief, but we're not emotional in our belief. We're biblical in our belief. We believe this word because we accept it as true, as inerrant, as infallible. Specifically, we believe the King James Word is the preserved and authorized Word of God, and that God has preserved it through the hand of his martyrs and passed it down for us, and so that we can know the actual, not just some words of God, but the whole truth of God. We testify upon this belief. We believe that it's more than, with apologies to Smokey Robinson, it's more than a secondhand emotion when we believe. I believe it may be best described by the great American poet, the beloved Alan Jackson. Two young people without a thing. Come on now. Say some vows and spread their wings. She don't care about what's in style. She just likes the way that he smiles. Now, boys, you listen. This is what you're going to know when you're in love. It takes more than marbles and tile. Living on love. Now, if you know it, sing along. Living on love, buying on time. Without somebody, nothing ain't worth a dime. Just like the old-fashioned storybook rhyme. Living on love. That's the first time you ever sang country music at Baptist Church, ain't it? Now, listen. It just worked for my illustration today. You'll know that you believe for lots of reasons. But you'll know that you believe when it's more than just a feeling. You'll know that you believe Jesus when it's more than just a thought, but when it's an actual deep down inside, when you don't got a thing, when it's more than marble and tile, when you don't know why you like it, you don't know how you like it, you just know that you like it, that's when you'll start getting the joy of believing. That's when you'll come to a conclusion, now I see. And today we pick up in the Gospel of John, and we see the story of the blind man. And the blind man goes through some things. But ultimately what the blind man understands is that he was unbelieving, but he now believes. That he was blind, but now I see. I don't know all the reasons why I can see. I just know that I believe I can see. I don't know why this thing is so great because I never saw it before, but I believe in the one who allowed me to see. And this morning, I pray that if you've been blind to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've been blind to salvation, if you've been blind to belief, that you would too would leave this place with the joy of believing. Now, to keep everybody in tune this morning, if you believe Jesus Christ is the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Christ, the Savior this morning, then somebody just say, joy. And if you believe it deep down in your soul this morning, then you have the joy of believing. When bad things are going on, when hard times come, the joy of believing is what keeps you rooted. When you're living on love and the joy of Jesus Christ, you can have bad things. You can be broke as a joke. Your money might be funny, but you still got joy in Jesus Christ. You can have relationship issues. You can have relationship fails. You can get a bad grade on a test, but you still got joy in Jesus. And all I'm talking about this morning is when you believe, when you have joy, you used to be blind to that joy, but now I see. Amen. Look in your Bibles, John chapter 9. In this story, Jesus has passed by, and he sees a blind man. This man's been blind from his birth. The apostles ask a ridiculous question here. Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus, very kindly, much more kindly than I would talk to my assistants, I would be like Fred Sanford, you big dummy. But listen, here, the young people are like, who is Fred Sanford? Jesus says, nobody sinned. This is done so I can be glorified. But we pick up in verse 6, John chapter 9, verse 6. If you're able and prepared, would you stand with me for the reading and honoring of God's word? We're going to read through verse 10 and then skip to verse 25 if your Bible changes pages so that you can follow along. The Bible says, when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. Now, I'll tell you, there's two things here. Spit's nasty. I don't want nobody to spit on me. But if Jesus spits and makes this clay, the spittle, and he rubs it, Jesus can take ordinary spit and turn it into something extraordinary. And if Jesus, wants to put his saliva on my eyes. I believe that it's not just saliva, that it's the very saliva of the living God. Yeah. That the DNA found in me is from him, from whence he created me in his own image. And so Jesus is not just the light giver to the eyes, to the rods and the cones of the eyes, but he's the life giver, and he stretched forth his DNA and he put it in his hands. And when God has life and light in his hands and he puts it on you, guess what you get? Life and light. He spit in this, made spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Jesus, he's a sanitary person. He didn't have him go wash to heal him. He said, go wash because I just spit on you, bro. Now, that's the BTV version. I made that up. Which is by interpret, there wasn't no hand sanitizer. He was looking for that Johnson's, that Perel. He didn't have none of that. He said, go wash down there in that pool. But anyway, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way there for and washed and came seeing. Now, here comes the nosy neighbors. Anybody got any nosy neighbors? If your nosy neighbor's here, don't look at them. But if you got nosy neighbors, just saying, these are the nosy neighbors. They come and they say, they which before had seen him that he was blind said, is not this he that sat and begged? See, when you were blind or had a disability in that day, you only had two courses of action. You could either beg or go live with a family member that would take care of you. But once you got to be a grown man, really the only way was to beg. And some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But watch, the blind man said, no, I'm him. This is me. I am he. Who you knew would be blind from his birth is now a seer. Therefore they said unto him, how were thine eyes opened? Skip down to verse 25. The blind man, my favorite song by the Booth Brothers, go ask the blind man. He saw it all. Verse 25, he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Let's pray. Father God, I'm praying today that there might be someone that's blind to the gospel today, that's blind to needing a good church family, to even knowing that they need a good church family. And it's not about church, it's about salvation. But today I pray that whereas they are blind, that today without the spittle of your hands, but through the word of God and the spirit of God, that today they would be convicted that now they may see. Father, I'm praying today. Help us, guide us through these scriptures. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. You may be seated. He says, a man named Jesus. The Pharisees, the religious hypocrites of the day, they come and they say, how did this happen? He said, he did it. Speaking of Jesus. Well, something's got to be wrong with him. He's got to be a sinner then if this man is healing people. He's got to be something messed up. You ever notice that when you're doing good, people always want to try to make a way that something you did is wrong? I heard LeBron James' school that the kids aren't getting a good academic education, and people are all mad about that. And listen, you know I believe that LeBron James is like the 10th best basketball player, but I will say this. The man started a school for underprivileged kids. He's trying to do something good, and people got to be taking shots at it because it's not going the way that they want it to go. He's trying to do something good. Why do people get hated on for trying to do good? It's as old as Jesus. They're hating on Jesus, and they're saying, hey, how could this man heal you? Something's got to be wrong with him. He's got to be a sinner. Sometimes people say something bad's going on in your life, and they say, well, it's got to be because they got sin in their life. Not always, but sometimes. Job didn't have any sin in his life, but bad things happen. Sometimes bad things just happen because they happen. Now, sometimes you aren't where you're supposed to be with the Lord, and he does chasten those who he loves. Now, these Pharisees, these nosy neighbors, these unbelieving Jews, nobody believes that this blind man, they say, we don't believe that you were ever blind. We think it's all a ruse. You're making it up. So they go, let's go ask his parents. They'll know whether he was born blind. And the parents, they go to them and say, was he born blind? They say, yes, this is our son. And he was really born blind. They say, well, we don't know how he got his sight. How did he get his sight? And the parents are afraid of the Jews, so they say, well, go ask him. He's grown. They say he's of age. They say he's a grown man. Stop asking us. That's how I do it with my sons nowadays. Y'all ask me, can Grayson come over and do this? Because they grown. Ask them. Don't text me. Look, if they want to go somewhere, you text them. They know where they're allowed to go and where they're not allowed to go. Amen. I say, they grown. I'm done parenting them. Move on. Now, if you want my daughters to do something, you got to come to me. okay? The boys can fend for themselves, but them little girls, they, daddy still got to have a little handle on them, amen? But the parents say, go ask them. You know what haters do? You know what people that don't believe do? They got to go get a second opinion. They got to go ask somebody else. They got to listen to fake news. They be like, well, what did TMZ say about the situation? Huh? What did CNN have to say? But they say, hey, look, you can take sides if you want to. You can get mad if you want to. But the story ain't going to change. They come back to the blind man. They say, tell us, hey, how did this happen? And they say, you know what? Matter of fact, we don't even care. Just give God the praise, but stop saying that this man did it because he's a sinner. And the blind man said in verse 25, you know what? Whether he be a sinner or no, I don't know. You all are saying all these things about him? I don't know, but all I know is this. I used to be blind, and now I see. I believe him because I used to be messed up, and now I believe on the Son of God. And the blind man said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Jesus said to them, thou hast both seen him, and is he that talketh with thee. And the blind man said, Lord, I believe thee. And he fell down and worshiped him. See, it's real simple. You don't have to know. This blind man doesn't know anything about the Bible. He didn't know anything about religions. He got a whole bunch of neighbors that hate him. He'd been blind. He can't see. He's never been able to read the scriptures. He can't get to where he wants to go. He's a beggar. But all he knows is that when he met Jesus, he used to be blind, but now he sees. And then he worships, and there's a great joy in that. And he said, I already told them fools what happened. They came and asked me, and they came and said, who did this? He says, I already told you. He says, but if I tell you again, you still won't believe me. Some of you have been told over and over and over again, but you still won't believe. And all I'm saying to you this morning is there's a joy in believing. There's a joy. There's an excitability. This is a little bit of caffeine and espresso, Brother Carter made me this morning, but a lot of it's just joy in Jesus. I don't walk around in my daily life yelling and hollering and hooping, but when I get in this pulpit and when the joy of Jesus comes upon me and when I start giving it back out to the rest of the church and to the other people, there's a joy that comes with that. There's a joy that comes with preaching Jesus. In my regular life, when you come, you might be like, well, Pastor Bryce, he says hello and yes, sir, and no, ma'am, and all these things, and he's not so loud. But boy, when I get to talking about Jesus... I wish I had a Bible reader, Jake. I wish I had, if I had two or three this morning, Jake, that would just hear what we're saying this morning. If I just had two or three people that got this, when I start talking about Jesus, something happens. Something transforms and comes over you because there's a joy in believing. See, you can believe in a lot of things. Some of y'all believing in the wrong things. Some of y'all believing in the right things. But when you believe in Jesus, he's everything. And when you believe in him, you start to get something different. Something happens. This transformation takes place. I go from a Decepticon to the head of all the Transformers. And when that takes place, oh boy, crazy things start happening. Because see, number one, there's a reason to believe. Number one, there's a reason to believe. There's proof. A miracle is taking place. See, this blind man, he had a miracle take place. He said, if everybody, but see, the miracle was the same for both. He was blind, but now he sees. But the neighbors, the Pharisees, the parents, they all could have seen. He'd been blind since he was born. He's a grown man. So in the Jewish world, he's at least 20 years old at minimum. For 20 years, he'd been blind. And now everybody around it sees that he can see, but some would still not believe. They saw the same miracle. The blind man, he says, I couldn't see, but now I see. And the same people, the nosy neighbors, the Pharisees, the unbelieving Jews, they all saw. Listen, everybody in this room has seen the same miracles, but some of you don't believe. And some of you do. You want some proof? Some of you haven't heard this report, but my beloved mother, she was given a terminal diagnosis of lung cancer about 3 months ago. She began treatment. They said, we can't, 4 years, and that's all you're going to get. My mother's 67 years old. And we began to pray. I guess it was longer though. That was a Christmas time. We get this diagnosis. And we began to pray. And last month, got through all the insurance and channels to get a second opinion at a different hospital and different place. And they re-ran all the tests and did everything again. And they come back and they say, Mrs. Thompson, the scans were wrong. This cancer's not in your lungs. She survived breast cancer a couple years ago, but it's back in your breast, but it's just the same way. We can get rid of this thing. It's shrinking already. We can get rid of this thing with just a couple more chemo treatments. Now listen. And so we can get rid of this. Now watch how good God is. We can get rid of it. Just, you don't have to go through all the chemo. You still got to do some chemo, but she hasn't lost her hair this time. She's still there. And then they said, and then after this, you can just take a pill for the next 5 years and you should be all right. Now listen, we go from thinking my mother's going to die to understanding that a new set, now you might think it's the team of doctors, but I know who it is. I know what happened. You're not going to fool me, because here's what I know about doctors. See, some of y'all got y'all's belief in the wrong place. Some of y'all are believing in the prescription pills, and some of y'all are believing in the doctors, and there's a time and place for all those things, but I just want you to understand this. People that take blood pressure medicine all their life can still die of hypertension. People that take diabetes medications, diabetic medications, still die of diabetes. All I know is if doctors knew everything, then they would live forever. My doctor, when I was a young man, he was my doctor from the time I was 15 to 36 years old. When I was 36, my doctor, who had been telling me to watch your heart, watch with you, he had a heart attack. And I'm thinking to myself, well, if my doctor can have a heart attack, my belief, he's a great doctor. My belief is in him that he can help me. But if he can have a heart attack, anybody can have a heart attack. Because he's supposed to know what to do. He's tied in with the American Heart Association. He's nibbling on green beans and celery and running every morning. And I thought to myself, well, what's the need to run and eat celery? I might as well eat what I want. If he can have a heart attack, I might as well just live my life and enjoy that cheeseburger. Now, listen, that's just me and how I do things. But just saying, if he's going to die anyway, I might as well enjoy my ride. You see me? Only place I run is to the bakery as soon as they open in the morning. Say, Pastor, how far is the bakery from your house? Just right down the street. I ain't got to go very far. And then I sit down and have a maple glazed donut with an ice frappe. And then I walk back home. I don't want to run there. I just walk back at a slow pace because, you know, after you've worked up food, you don't want to run after that. But listen, all I'm saying is I know there's a reason to believe. Amen. You know what? My mother is one miracle that's in my life, but there's a lot of other miracles. When I look around, I use this all the time because it's such a miracle. It's a miracle that some of you are in church. Because not all y'all always been church people. Some of y'all are church people, but you don't act like church people. Now listen, I ain't always been church people. I got saved when I was 22 years old. I had a whole life before I was ever saved. And at years old when I started in full-time ministry. And you know, that's a miracle. Because most people get saved between 5 and 14. Because after that, it gets really hard because you get skeptical. You get cynical. You get really hard. And you start going, I don't know if I believe that. I don't know if I believe this. But really, your belief of not believing is not based on anything. It's really just because you've heard so much stuff going on in the world, so much bad stuff. I was watching a show. Anybody ever watch Family Matters? Carl Winslow, Steve Urkel. And in the beginning of that thing, they said, whatever happened to the good necessities, he said, the milkman, the paper, these old songs. But in that song, specifically Family Matters, it says that the times are getting hard. It's hard to raise people. And I thought, that was in 1990. And I'm like, looking back at it, the 90s was the bomb. I slept with our window open, doors unlocked. We never locked our car doors. We went outside. We never worried about anybody snatching up the kids. There was all kinds of stuff that went on in the 90s. And I'd be thinking about, they thought it was bad. If I could go back, if I could quantum leap like my main man Sam in that old show. They got a new show. I was telling our group this morning in discipleship. I love that show, Quantum Leap. My wife thinks I'm crazy. Why do you like this? Because I'd be thinking to myself, if I could be like him and go back in time and rewrite wrongs. She's like, it's so corny. Yeah, I grew up watching corny things. Go back and watch 90s TV. Corny. But I think about that and I think, they thought it was going to be bad. In their day, they thought it was bad. When I was a little kid, they thought it was bad. Some of those people that died, if they could see what we're living through now, they'd be like, man, we was doing pretty good in the 90s. Everything was all right back in 92. But you know, there's a reason to believe. This is how I know. Because in this day and age, with all the other things you could be doing this morning, you found yourself here. With all the other opportunities, you could have stayed home at St. Mattress or went to Bedside Baptist. You could be at the park. You could be fishing. You could be doing anything else, but you chose to be here. Now, I believe there's a reason why you're here. Listen, the ones of us that come here on a regular basis, we're here because of the joy of believing. We come here because there's joy in getting around other believers. Man, I never thought Waymaker was going to end this morning. We have a new version. 6 minutes and 45 seconds a waymaker. I said, how many times can we tell the Lord that he's the waymaker, the promise keeper? I mean, he already knows that's who he is. And then we got the audacity to say, that is who you are. That is. And I say, well, you know what? Listen, ma'am, the Lord knows that already. Why do we got to sing it 375 times? But you know why? Because it's a joy, because I saw people like this. Even I feel that you're working. Even listen, I saw people jamming out. They said, Waymaker, miracle. They sang all 6 minutes and 45 seconds of that song. Even when you thought the song was over, they came right back with it. They said, okay, the song, wait a minute. Even when I don't feel it, they're working. Even, I mean, listen. Listen, that don't happen. That's because somebody's got a belief and they've got a joy in their belief because they used to be blind to it, but now they see. They used to not know that somebody could make a way, but now they know there's a way maker. See, it changes. They say, I used to be blind, but now I see. Can you imagine? But then the Lord comes and rubs your eyes, and now you see everything live in perfect color in HD, 24 karat magic right there in your face. And now you see something. You know how excited you would be, the joy that would come? Listen, when I was lost, I didn't know. But when I could see, when I got saved, there was a joy that came out. I saw it clearly now. I can see clearly now. Listen, when it happens to you, you'll understand. Amen. And if it hasn't happened to you, my question to you is, why would you be like these unbelieving Jews? You see all these miracles going on around you. You see all these blessings going on around you. Churches aren't growing these days, friend. Churches in Trotwood, Ohio, on little streets that nobody knows how to get there, that your GPS is struggling to find where it's at, they don't generally grow. Listen to me. Look around you. Churches, there is no church that I know of in the United States of America where the pastor is black and the people are majority white. It don't happen because of racism, because of people's differences. Usually people are a little intimidated by that, but you come in here and you're like, the pastor's black, but there's only like 7 or 8 other black people in here. Where's all the black people at? And then they got the nerve to be like, you're like, white people come in here and like, hey, brother. You're like, did he call me a brother? Like, oh, wait, oh, that's right, that's right, that's right. We save, we save. Then I'd be thinking to myself, like, if you really worried about that, I'm like, was you at the door counting? Like, there's one. Like, why does it matter? Because there's a joy in believing, isn't there? Because it don't matter. Because if you know, you know. And if you don't know, now you know that there's a joy in believing. It don't matter how old, how young, what color, where you came from, if you're from the hood, if you're from the affluent side of town. Some of y'all got moccasins with no socks. You middle class. And some of you got old shoes that got holes in the bottom of them. You might be impoverished. But you come into this place and the same joy that resonates over one resonates over all. Because there's a joy in believing because you got a reason to believe. You woke up this morning with breath in your lungs. That's the breath of life that God breathed in the nostrils of Adam. You don't got to ask science. You don't got to ask your mama. You don't got to ask no friends. You need to just stop being hard and cynical and skeptical and just say, you know what? There's a reason to believe, and I'm going to believe. You ain't got to know nothing. I don't care if you know the 66 books of the Bible. You ain't got to know that Malachi ends the Old Testament. You ain't got to know that Genesis starts it. You don't got to know about the Judges. You don't got to know there's 1st and 2nd Samuel. You don't got to know there's 1st and 2nd Chronicles. You don't got to know that there's 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. You ain't got to know none of that. All you got to know is that you're blind and you want to see. Amen. You didn't know, but now you know. Amen. You didn't believe, but now you believe. That's all you got to know. Do you really think that thermostat says it's 72 degrees. If I had it my way, it would be 37 in here. I am known as the brown polar bear in my family because I like Arctic temperatures. Do you really think I would come up here dressed in a fool, up here and hoop and holler and preach if God wasn't real and if his son Jesus Christ hadn't saved my old wretched, nasty soul? Let me just talk real to you for a minute. You know why I know I believe? Because I used to drink and get drunk. I never did any drugs, but I was around them dope heads. Every week they had some new marijuana that they were trying to tell us about. It was like, this will get you higher than last week. I said, I saw how you fools acted last week. I don't want none of that. And they got one of them weird names like, this is the supercalifragilisticbud. I said, oh, that sounds like this. They said, they just call this killer. I'm like, well, I want to do some stuff like that. So I never really got into drugs, but I understand. But I drank and I cussed and I fought people and I did all kinds of things. I thought bad. I womanized. I did all these things. And then one day, see, I didn't believe, but then one day, Jesus knocked me upside my head and said, boy, let me open them eyes for you. And I believe that after he opened those eyes, I said, I know who opened my eyes. It was Jesus. It was him. Because other people, my mama had tried to open my eyes. My daddy had tried to open my eyes. My grandmama had tried to open my eyes. My teachers, you know, some of y'all students are still getting this. You're just not applying yourself. And I had all those people, coaches trying to get a hold of me. But one day, all those people I didn't believe. But one day, the man Jesus came to me and opened my eyes. And there was joy. Amen. And it's never went away. Amen. There's a joy in believing. Amen. Amen. See, there's a reason to believe. But I want you to know this morning, there's a person to believe. You never get this messed up. Don't you believe in people? Don't you? I hear this. Well, we believe in you. And I say that to young folks. And, you know, I tell Pastor Brandon, Pastor Jeremy, Pastor Carter, you know, I believe in you. We put time into you because I believe in you. I believe in what you're doing. But I don't believe in them because of who they are. I believe in them because of whose they are. That's right. I believe in them because they're following the man Jesus. Brother Chuck, Brother Philip, great deacons. I told them, there's no finer deacons in all of the world. These men are exactly what the Bible describes and tells us they should be. And I would rather have nobody else at this current time for a time as such as this, in this place, in this position. And they're great men. And I have much confidence and belief. I call Brother Chuck my dating dad because he has taken care of me and been with me. And he watches out for me and I watch out for him. Somebody's got to keep me in line, right? And it's Brother Chuck, even with the bad jokes. Brother Philip came into my life when some bad things had happened into his life. But you know what? Brother Philip found out what I've been saying to everybody for a couple of weeks now. Even in times of trouble, Brother Philip said, I can get better. And we came together and better together. And I see all these things. And all I'm saying to you is, I believe in them. But listen, I believe in them because they believe in Jesus. There's a person to believe in. You say, well, Pastor Bryson, how do I know there's a person to believe in? Well, I gave you the reasons to believe, but let me just tell you this. I don't care who he is. I care what he is. Now watch. You say, it's not about is it a man, because he is a man and God, but I care about what he is. What is he? Well, we sang it this morning. He's a way maker. He's a promise keeper. He's a savior. He's a friend. He's a father. He's a prince of peace. He's a governor. He's a ruler. He's a king and a lord. He is a master. He's a teacher. God smacked together, and so he's got both natures, God and man. And his very essence is this, that to believe in him, it don't matter how you come to him. Just come to him. Amen. I don't care if somebody going to give me something free. They say this is free. I believe them. The crop man was out yesterday in trial. Would anybody see him over on Olive and Hoover? Yeah, y'all didn't see because I didn't call nobody and let y'all know because I wanted it for myself. I rode through on accident and I saw the crop man sitting on the side of the road and I wondered how much the crops were, the sweet corn and the yams. And I went over there and he said, oh, no, sir, I just give this away. And I said, you mean it's free? He said, yes, sir, you take as much as you want. I said, well, I just happen to have my Aldi's bags in the back of my car. So you're telling me, now how much do you want for the tomatoes? No, sir, it's all free. I said, I'm hard to believe. Listen, it's hard for me to believe anybody would just give me something of the abundance of their crops. I said, could you say it one more time, sir? Because it sounds so good to my ears. How much for the tomatoes? Sir, they're free. And there came a joy upon my face. Because you know you're preacher and free things. I said, well, you know what? If you're saying you're giving it away, I mean, who am I to say no? I believed him. So I got my Aldi's bag. I opened it up. There was nobody else around. I opened the back of my car trunk, and I went over and filled it up, and I said, thank you, bless you, God bless you. And then I thought to myself, you know, I probably ought to ask this man if he's saved. I said, you know, usually lost people don't do stuff like that, but let me talk to him, give him a church track. So I talked to him. He's saved. I gave him a church track. He has a church. So I said, that's fine. If you ever get tired of your church, you know where you can bring your crops. Now listen, all I'm saying is, I'm saying he said it was free and I believed him. Because this person told me that it was true. And there was not only evidence that what he was saying was true, because not everybody you can believe, because there's this thing in the state of Ohio called receiving stolen property. You can't just take free stuff from everybody. Now, understand what I said. I didn't say everybody, because the people we're talking about are everybody. Sorry. You can't just take stuff from everybody, because they say, oh, look, man, I got these stereos, man. I'm gonna give them to you. This is how you know it's a crime. We're going to give them to you for the low. That's because you give it to us for the low because you just stole it. You know what I'm talking about? They say, it's in the back of my trunk. Or, oh, hey, hold, wait a minute. We got these watches. We got Hublots, and we got Timexes and Rolexes, and what you want? And I'm like, no, I'm good. I'm going to go ahead and take myself to Harris Jewelers and because I, you know, that seems like that's a crime, sir, and I'm not into that. And then you take that, and if you have knowledge that you got some stolen stuff, it's called receiving stolen property, and it's a felony of the third degree in the state of Ohio. The ORC code, no, just kidding. But anyway, you will go to prison. It's not just a little thing. You can really go to prison. I'm not talking about the county jail. I'm talking about you got to go to the clink where they in a cot and you go in there and make a couple friends. No, we're talking about big boy, big girl prison. You got to go down in there. You get locked down and somebody's going to put a tattoo on your face and you didn't want it. All I'm saying is there's a difference between receiving stolen property and receiving something that you can believe the person that you got it from. Heard a story yesterday. I've been thinking about this. Man, I don't remember. You can say who it was, but somebody in here, who was it who knew the pastor who's a girl in their church gave the pastor a kidney? Men's prayer, somebody gave that. Who was it? Brandon, you gave that? Brother Brandon told us a story of somebody that he knows that, I think it's your barber maybe, her daughter, yeah, gave a kidney to her pastor. And I said to the men, I said, now which one of y'all, if I need a kidney, is going to give me a kidney? And Brother Carter said, well, I got a whole bunch of kidney stones, preacher. You can have mine. I said, what kind of? See what you got to deal with me? You see how assistant pastors are? He going to give me the kidney with the stones in it. I'm like, what? Love me more than these, Brother Carter? That's all right. Well, I've been thinking about that all day. You know, that's a hard thing, a transplant, because you have to first find a donor that matches the blood type. But then you've got to believe that the doctors and the people that scanned it got the right one, because you know organs do get rejected. So you got to believe a man or a woman. And you got to believe from men or women, from the people that go through all the testing, to the nurses, to the doctors, you got to believe. And then you got to lay down on a table, the giver and the getter. You got to be injected and given anesthesia where you won't last. As soon as they give it to you, you'll be out. You don't know what's going on. Your mama can't be in there with you. Your wife can't be in there with you. You're just in there. And you just have put trust and belief in some strangers ultimately. And you're just believing that this kidney that no longer is good is going to be removed. And they're going to put this new kidney in you that they've told you is good, but you have no medical capabilities or understanding of how, but you are putting your faith that the doctor that you've been seeing, you've put your belief that this person knows what they're doing. You follow me? But some of you in here, and some of you even in your Christian walk, you know there's a reason to believe Jesus, but you don't believe the man Jesus when hard times come, or even in the basic level of belief, you won't put your trust in. You'll put your trust in everything else. Boy, man, we drove up there yesterday to a birthday party up there in Newton, Pleasant Hill, I think it's called, and I've never understood it. You heard me say this before. How can these people have a statue in the middle of the road? If you drive straight up 48, unless you veer to the right, you're going to run right into the middle of a statue. It got one little raggedy light down there to let you know there's a statue. If you come up and on in the middle of the night too fast, you're going to hit a statue. It's in the middle. If you've never ventured out that way, go straight up 48 or straight down 48, from where you live. I think the other one might be 718. It runs across that way. I don't know. But just go up there, and if you don't move, you're going to run. And I thought to myself, oh, thank God for the roundabouts. At least there's some sense of direction and flow. This statue was in the middle of the road. It don't make no sense. I said, my wife, she never saw it before. She said, what is this? And you ever seen Cars? I said, that's Stanley. You ever seen Cars? Remember that? You ever seen Cars? She said, Stanley. I said, you know, from Cars, that's Stanley. If you never seen Cars, just believe me. But listen up. I bring that up to say this. Them people in Newtonville, Pleasant Hill, wherever, they don't care that you either going to run into that statue or you're going to move. You either going to believe it's there or you're not. You're either going to drive through it or you're going to drive around it. Listen to me. You're either going to believe hell today or you're not. You're either going to drive through it, and when you drive through hell, you're only there for a little bit of time, but then in the final time, you get cast into a place called the lake of fire burning with brimstone, and there's no coming back from it. Or you're going to get the joy of believing today, and you're going to drive around it to a place called heaven. There's no in-betweens. There's no purgatory. The Bible never speaks of that. That's a made-up Pharisee and fallacy from fake religion. There's no holding place. There's no second chance or maybe I can divert it. There's no, well, I can be a good enough person. Listen, don't matter how good of a person you are, if you drive straight into that statue, you're going to hit the statue. You say, I don't care if you got a Tesla or a Honda or the poor man's, what, Cadillac, the Buick. It don't matter to me. If you drive straight and you don't move, you're going to hit that statue. You don't have to do anything today to go to hell. You can just sit still. You can just sit still and not believe and never accept your sight and go to hell. But in order to miss that statue, in order to miss that hell, you got to believe. You got to come to an understanding that there's a reason to believe because I want to miss that. Hey, not going to hell is a really good reason to get saved. People say, well, you can't scare people into. Well, listen, dummy, I ain't never been to hell, but it don't sound like a good place. It's dark. Now, you know, I'm kind of like the donkey from Shrek. It's a little bit spooky in here. Ain't playing no games. I'm not about to go up in there just because. I'm not really afraid of the dark, but I don't go into dark places I don't know just because. You know what I'm talking about? Let's check it out first so I know what some stuff is in here. They're like, Pastor, would you ever like to go into a cave? No. God, listen, that was back in the day where people lived in caves. I have a house. When we go search in the cave, do I look like Indiana Jones? No. It's weeping, crying. Now, I like to hear babies cry, but you know, there's no harder sound than hear a toddler or a kid cry. That's a pain. I don't mean it in a bad way. It's a painful cry. When somebody's hurt or somebody you love is hurt and they're crying, that's what it's like in hell all day for eternity. And then it says it's gnashing of teeth. Field, but I've had a toothache before. They say there's no pain like a hangnail. They lied. I'll never have a child, so I'm not going to compare it to you, ladies, and what you go through. But as far as a man goes, a toothache is the worst pain I've ever had. I broke my hip. I broke my kneecap. I broke my ankle twice. I broke both arms. I broke fingers. I broke my nose. Listen, and all I'm telling you is none of those things hurt as bad as a toothache. You can't get rid of it. You be trying to put Orajel. You be doing stuff. You be doing gargling. And until the dentist comes in there, and when you get to be my age, they just pull it out. They just say, sir, do you need that tooth? Where is it at? It's way in the back. Just get it out of there. What's it for? You know what I mean? Like, if it's some of my fronts, I might want to keep some of those. But listen, everything else. I'm just saying to you, there's pain in hell, weeping and gnashing of teeth, and there's no coming back. You can't be good enough. Listen, you got a toothache. Don't matter how good you are. If you got a toothache, you got a toothache. Hey, you get hurt. You hurt something. Somebody falls down and breaks a leg. Don't matter how good you are. You broke your leg. There's pain. It don't matter how good you are. Tonight, the sun's going to go down. The moon's going to come out, and it's going to get dark. It doesn't matter how good you are, how much you go to church. Or we're going to see Maisie baptized in a few moments. It doesn't matter how many times you get baptized. There's no way to move around that except for by believing in Jesus, because you believe there's a reason to believe. And all I'm saying to you today is I know who holds tomorrow. And I know there's a reason to believe the man Jesus. I've seen it with my own eyes. Some of us, myself included, see, Jesus raised 3 people in the New Testament, 4 if you count me, and maybe more if he raised you. But I know this, some of us in here, you are a reason to believe because some of us have no business being in church and being saved. That's right. I know my backstory. I know some of y'all's backstory. Jesus said, you know what? I don't care. The woman had been divorced 5 times, and she's living with a man that's not her own. And Jesus said, come on, get you some of this living water, girl. Believe that? She said, oh, I believe that. Oh, I believe that. I like that. The woman got caught in adultery. They brought her to her. He said, woman, where are thine accusers? She said, I see no man. Just like that. And I don't accuse you either. Go on and sin no more. See, listen, there's a whole bunch of people that's messed up in here. Listen, Paul, he was out there killing all the Christians, and all of a sudden the Lord convicts him and shows himself on the Damascus Road. And Paul said, Lord, what is it? What do you want me to do? And the Lord said, go on down here and do this to the place down there where Ananias is, and he's going to show you what to do. And then Paul went out and wrote most of the New Testament. See, all I'm saying is you might be the dirtiest, nastiest sinner in this building right now, but you're sitting by some dirty, nasty sinners too. The difference between that dirty, nasty sinner is that they're a sinner saved by grace because they knew that they were blind, but now they see. Because they knew that they didn't believe, but now they see there's a reason to believe. They see that now there's a reason to believe because there's a man to believe, and you can be just like him, and we're going to give you that opportunity right here, right now, to move away from the statue and move into this place of believing and have joy, and you will have joy like you've never had before. You say, Pastor, how do you know that I'll have joy? Because believe it or not, something happens because there's a joy about Jesus. And when Jesus comes in and I get to talk about Jesus, oh my lands, all that happens to me is something starts shaking in my bones and quivering in my feet and my mouth that is usually has a low tone and people can't understand me. God supernaturally heals it and things come out and people can hear the word of God and things start changing, not because of me, but because of him. And there's reasons to believe in this place this morning. Amen. Jesus asked that question. Do you believe that I'm the Son of God, Son of Man? Would you believe us today? You've seen plenty of reasons today. Now you need to meet the man and believe him. Every head bowed, every eye closed. As we come to this time, we call this invitation. We call this appeal, or a time where the doors of the church are opened. And what we mean by that is you are welcomed into the family of God by your belief. Now notice this man, he didn't just believe, but he repented. He changed. He said, I used to be blind, but now I see. That is teaching us that you change. You become different when you get in Jesus, and when Jesus gets in you. So now I need you to hear these words because God has pressed it upon my heart that you would hear it. With every head bowed and eyes closed, nobody moving around. Not the time to move around or do anything differently, but just to sit still. Not the time. Invitation is not an invitation to put your Bible away. It's not an invitation to open your purse. Not an invitation to go to the bathroom. Not an invitation for you to start talking to your neighbor. The invitation is an invite from Jesus Christ himself that you could be saved. And as the music begins to play this morning, softly in the background, before we sing, I want you to hear this. The Lord God has said that all we are sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all messed up. We were all born blind spiritually because we're sinners. And the only way that we can see and have our eyes open is by Jesus Christ coming into our life. So this morning I ask you, will you be like the nosy neighbor, the religious crowd, the Pharisees? Will you be like those unbelieving Jews this morning and say, I know there's a reason, and we hear the witness, we hear that somebody was blind but now they see, but are you going to sit here and harden your heart? Some of you are just stubborn. Some of you are just hard. Some of you are just unbelieving for no reason. But listen, there's a reason to believe. Who would soften their heart today and say, I'll accept Jesus into my heart? Now listen, I'm not going to ask you to do anything crazy today. I'm not going to ask you to come up here unless you want to. I'm not going to ask you to signal yourself or do anything weird. I'm only going to ask you to do a couple of things, but these are things that are for you, not for me. If you understand you're a sinner, you've made mistakes in your life, then I'm talking to you. If you've never been forgiven for those sins, if you're not 100% sure that if you died today, that you would miss the statue and you would of hell and you would find yourself in heaven, then I'm talking to you. If you have 100% confidence, you listen and you hear and pray for somebody who doesn't. But if it's you that says, I'm not 100% sure, I don't know 100% that I have the joy in believing, then hear this. He said, I'm a for us. Even though you're still messed up, Jesus already died for your sins, past, present, and future. And he gave himself a ransom for you. And if you can believe that today, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now this calling upon the Lord, in the name of the Lord, you have to call upon the name of Jesus. He's the only one that can save. There's a person to believe. And if you believe that today, it's between you and him. And this prayer that we offer, called the sinner's prayer, won't save you. But if you believe truly in your heart, you really get this, it will. So the first part, I just want to take survey this morning. If you're here and you say, Pastor Bryson, that's me. I'm not sure I'm saved. I don't know if I'm saved, or I know I'm not saved. I know I would die and go to hell. I'm not confident in that, but I want to believe. Would you believe and repent in this prayer and repeat it in your heart and in your mind? You don't have to say it out loud. God hears everything. Saying, Lord, I know that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved. I believe your son Jesus died on the cross to pay for my sin. Lord, come into my heart, save my soul, and help me to live for you from this day forward. With heads bowed and eyes closed, in the sensitivity of the room, I'm going to start on my left-hand side, your right side. I'm just going to pray for you. I'm not coming to your seat. I'm not going to ask you any questions. I'm not going to do anything else. I'm just going to pray for you in my own personal time. Maybe I know your name, maybe I don't, but I'll pray for your face. God knows your name. On my left, your right, if you prayed that prayer and you believed it today, say, I used to be blind, but Pastor Bryson, my eyes have been open. I see this morning. Would you raise your hand or open your eyes this morning and just catch my eye with your eye? Just on my left, your right. Would you just catch your eye with my eye? Say, I believe that today. That was me. Amen. What about on my right, your left? You say, I believe that today. Just your eyes and my eyes meet. I say, I see that. Thank you. Just my eyes and your eyes. You can put them right back down. Anybody else? My right, I see one this morning. Praise the Lord. My right, your left. Anybody else says, I believe that today. I'm not going to ask you to do anything else. I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to ask you to start coming to church and doing anything right now. I'm just going to ask you if you want to believe. Anybody else in the building like that this morning? I'm looking all over. Amen. What about you, church member? What is it that you're not believing this morning in your life? You're not believing God for that you could come to the altar and pray to God, help me to believe this. Help my unbelief in this. I know there's a reason to believe. I know there's a person to believe. Help me, Lord, where I'm blind to this fact right now. Help me to see it. Who is it this morning? Maybe you need to be baptized. We're going to see a little child lead us in that today. Maybe you need to join Assurance Baptist Church, make this your home church today. Maybe that's you, and you need to come to the altar and make that known. And if you did look at me, or even if you didn't, if you need to be saved, you say, I don't care what people think. I don't care what my family thinks. I don't care what my friends think. I got the joy of Jesus and believing, and I want to go for it and talk to that pastor. Talk to those assistant pastors, men with men, ladies with ladies. I want to talk to somebody and say, how can, now that my eyes are open, how can I have this joy? How can I not care about all? How can I have this joy even when there's nosy neighbors, even when there's mean Pharisees, even when there's people around me that might be seeking to kill me? How can I have this joy? Joy everlasting. And we want to show you from the Bible how to have that today. So I pray that you would come. As Brother Chuck takes the invitation, let's all stand to our feet and we'll sing this song together. Lord, have your way and will with this time of invitation and appeal. You come if you need to come this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please stand and join in singing. I have decided to follow Jesus. 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 No turning back, no turning back. The world behind still will follow, no turning. decide now to follow Jesus? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? No turning back, no turning
It's been a great day in the Lord's house, hasn't it?
Amen.
If you didn't get a copy of your bulletin, make sure you grab one on the way out or snag a pic. Tuesday, August 8th at 6:30, there's a ladies' meeting here at the church in the fellowship hall. Sister Sierra is going to be doing the devotion for that. They just asked that you bring a snack to share, but that's Tuesday, August 8th. And then Thursday, August 10th, we have Grow, so that's resumed after our break from July. So Thursday, August 10th at 6:30, we're going to meet at Union Elementary School to go pass out some flyers and invite people to church. So we'd encourage everybody to be out there for that. Then Young at Hearts, Thursday, August 10th at noon, they have a Young at Hearts meeting. And then please bring a dessert or side to share for that or see Brother Chuck if you have any questions. Then we have Sunday, August 13th. Yeah, next Sunday is our promotion Sunday. So all of our kids will move up to their next age group. So some of them will be changing Sunday school classes. So you'll want to be here for that. We also have a certificate and a new class for those children that are moving up. And then the other one is next Sunday morning, August 13th, we'll be observing the Lord's Supper. So you'll want to make sure you're here for that. So that's all the announcements we have for this morning, and then the deacons have a announcement as well.
Good morning. We'd like to ask Sister Chandra if she would come up, please. We'd like to give this to you.
Aw, thank you. That is so sweet.
Yep, and we appreciate all you do. You're not getting any older. We're just acknowledging your birthday. That's all.
God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Let's stand and sing happy birthday to Sister Chandra. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. And let's sing.